Hello, I'm Stephanie Gillard, the Producing Artistic Director at American Stage. Welcome to Spotlight, the American Stage podcast, where we illuminate the artistry and ideas behind the stories.
Hey there, I'm Sadie Lockhart, the Community Engagement Associate at American Stage. Today's episode features an interview with Rachel Harrison, American Stage's Production Stage Manager and Production Coordinator, as we discuss her many roles within our community and company, and dive into how we are celebrating 2020, the year of the stage manager. Please note that this episode was recorded at the end of January, right before our production of Dominique Morisseau's Skeleton Crew.
So Rachel, tell us a little bit about your position here at American Stage, for those of you who haven't met Rachel before.
I am the production stage manager and the production coordinator for American Stage. So as the production coordinator for American Stage, I serve in a sort of assistant capacity to our director of production. Many theaters might also assign a production coordinator under a production manager, so that the person that's sort of managing the entire production department does not need to spend as much time thinking about the coordinating of meetings, of concept meetings, and the basic day-to-day contact that needs to be made with designers for production as we work our way from concept to designs being created, to then that taking what the designers have put down on paper or digitally and transforming that then into something that can be presented to our cast when they arrive. So the cast arrives about 14 to 16 weeks after we start conceptualizing the design process, conceptualizing what the show will look like, what it will sound like, what the costumes will be. And as we get towards the time when the actors arrive, those things have become a fully realized concept. Mm-hmm. And they're being implemented, built in the shop, painted, built in the costume shop. You know, the costumes are being purchased or put together, built, and the sound design is well on its way. And the actors walk in the door, and we show them a little bit of that in a designer presentation, which, as the production coordinator, I also put together, make sure that that is ready to go to give to them on their first day of rehearsal. And then the production coordinating on my side of things sort of pauses, and mm-hmm. I become the production stage manager for the show. And in that aspects, in those aspects, in that realm, I am in every rehearsal, and I am sort of the guide, the Sherpa, the safety manager, the shoulder to lean on, the shoulder to cry on. I am the person who keeps things rolling, towards pushing towards our end goals. And that first goal that we roll up to would be something like the designer run, where the designers come in and they see what the cast and the directors have put, what the cast and the director have put together, what the show, what basic shape the show has taken in movement and what the cast has come up with for their characters and how they are moving about together on stage. And we watch the designer run, and then we discover how well those designs that we have come up with are going to fit with what the director and the actors have created in the room. And then the next goal we're reaching towards is the tech process, where we fold what the actors and the director have created into and onto the stage, and we put lights and sound and sometimes projections and the costumes and the set together. And we give the actors their playground to play on and their play clothes to play in and the soundscape that they hear throughout the show. And we piece all those things together and make the timings correct and the lighting looks great and the sets look great and there's paint added and there's costume pieces touched up and altered. And the next goal we reach for is our preview process and opening, where we show an audience what the entire creative team has put together.
Awesome.
It's a little short journey just to get to opening
yeah.
night, right?
Yeah.
Not a little journey.
A big a very journey. Very long journey.
A journey to get to opening night.
Yeah. So why I know why your role is important to this theater, but why do you feel like the role of the production stage manager is important? Do you want me to tell you why I think it's important?
Yeah, why don't you tell me why you think it's important, and then I'll add to that.
Great. So, in addition to, like, the things that you were saying that are your duties as stage manager to do, I think that watching you in a bunch of different capacities as our production stage manager, you bring such grace and calm and control of every situation, and you bring that not only when you're, like, observing something in the rehearsal hall and helping to take notes in that capacity, but also in the day-to-day running, that is something that I think is really unique to your personality and to your craft and artistry within stage management, and so that's why specifically I think that you bring such an important aspect to mm-hmm. to our theater, and I guess that's more personal to you than to the role in general, but you're definitely like our Aunt Rachel. So I started out as an apprentice here at American Stage, and Rachel also helps greatly in helping to supervise apprentices, specifically the acting production apprentices, and your care and craft and kind nature towards helping apprentices through their journey, I think, is also really unique.
It's fun to just let you keep talking and tell me about it, because it lets me know that everything that I sort of strive to be, everything that I work towards and concentrate on in my job as a stage manager, you summed up really nicely. So it's good to know that what I'm looking to be is what you are seeing.
Yeah.
I personally, as a stage manager, believe that you can have the technical skills, you can have the organized brain and the love of, say, spreadsheets and data and tracking and
sticky notes. I don't know why I was sticky notes.
Sticky notes on everything. That's something Sadie made up, not that I use. I don't do a lot of sticky notes. But you can have all the technical skills, the things that you can learn from a book or in class, in grad school or in a program somewhere. But you walk in the door on the first day of the job, and if you also have a kind heart and the best intentions and a personality that knows that you are in control, or at least are responsible for what happens in the room, mm-hmm. it's freeing, and it's also really invigorating, and that's the responsibility that I feel. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because, you know, like I said, you can have all the technical skills, mm-hmm. but if you don't know that you belong there, what you bring to the room might not shine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense. But when you walk in the door, knowing that you belong there, knowing that you know how to conduct this train, mm-hmm. How to get from point A to point B and then to point C all the way to opening and closing of the show, you carry yourself a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any personal doubt about your abilities, it's going to show. And I mean, that's not just stage managing. That's in life, you know, which is why every person that I encounter, I like to try to encourage them to know that they're good at what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, believe in yourself so that other people can invest their trust in you.
Yeah. And I feel like what you're saying about you personally knowing that you belong in the room or there also helps create an environment for actors or directors or designers that are just working by contract with us, know that they belong there and that there's security in being a part of this collaborative space together.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I should admit that I never went to school for stage management specifically, but I often feel that I was kind of born to do it. it's weird because there are craftspeople, artists who will say the same thing. You know, a painter will sometimes say, yeah, I feel like I was just born to paint in this style or this way to express in this medium. I feel that stage management is my sort of creative medium. And I was born to do it. Now, does that mean I didn't then go look up things in books and talk to other people who stage managed and sort of found out what the technical parts are? But I think the personality that I bring to a room is really the strongest thing. Mm-hmm. I'm a good stage manager. I know that. And I wouldn't have spent the last 6 or 7 years here at American Stage managing almost every show that we have done for this number of seasons if I weren't good at what I do. But a lot of that is attributed to not just how well I physically, mentally do the job, but also emotionally what I invest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And invest myself in making certain that people feel safe, that they can walk into the rehearsal hall and the door closes behind them and they join a collaborative group of people who are free and safe and able to set aside any concerns that they might have, you know, that they can leave those concerns at the door, mm-hmm. walk in and begin the work that they've come to do. And I'll be their buffer. Mm-hmm. I'll be their safe place. I will be the sort of doorkeeper to that, mm-hmm. the gatekeeper of this room is for you to work in. And when you're done, you can go ahead and pick up whatever you set outside the door. You can pick that back up again, but you don't need it in here. And, you know, let's get to work.
Yeah, it's definitely an artistry, and it's like you set the whole tone, too, for the whole room. Like, it's so reassuring. Like, as an actor, sometimes also, it's so reassuring to, like, walk in a room and have a stage manager that has the tone that you set, because you feel instantly safe and instantly, like, ready to be vulnerable, which, when you initially start something, it's, like, on the first day of rehearsal, it's not like, cool, I know all these people. You're often working with people you've never met before. And so to have someone that is that grounded kind of hub that will be your through line through the whole process is really special.
Yeah, that Sherpa to carry you through through that the journey up the mountain, up the hillsides, around the twisting bends of what's coming with this production, what the director wants, what you want to do as an actor. You know, one of the joy of being that support is being that support. That is joy for me to know that I've made an environment in all the ways that I can that an actor and a director and designers can work in.
So you said that you didn't go to school for stage management. What drew you to becoming a stage manager?
I discovered what stage management was in my high school. It's probably not an original story, but I'll back up. My mother was really good at making certain that my sister and brother and I got great opportunities and provided us with whatever requests we, you know, within reason, whatever requests we made. And so, you know, I picked up the violin when I was a little kid, and then my sister picked it up like the next year because she wanted to be like me. And my brother and I have played the saxophone, and my sister was in band and orchestra, and I was in band. And in junior high school, I played in the pit orchestra for Cinderella, and I was like the second violin or whatever. And it was so much fun, but it was my first real experience with a theater show, you know, and it's the all swim style of high school theater, where if you want to be involved, we'll find a place for you. And I played the violin pretty well. And so I was in the orchestra, and I only did that once because I was watching from the pit this person on stage or backstage who was in charge of making certain everybody got to their entrances and had the mics on them and all the things that a stage manager does. And I found out that that's a role that you can play. And I jumped into that the moment I walked into high school. And my school would do a musical and a play every year. And from my freshman year, there I was. I want to be the stage manager. And after that first time, they were like, yep, you're the stage manager for 8 productions for 4 years. I got it. And so then I discovered that's what that was. But then, of course, I had to be practical. And off to college I went for, a couple of years and jumped around through a couple of different majors and some life events that changed sort of the course of things for me. And I didn't forget about stage management, but I discovered that I could also be making a living as an electrician in a theater or building sets and painting. And, you know, you need 4 or 5 people doing that for every production that you need only one stage manager for. Mm. And so the opportunities came to me in the form of other technical theater opportunities. And I went on tour as an electrician and learned a lot and got to see different parts of our world, not just the country. And when I came back home from tour, I jumped back into stage managing and I've sort of been here ever since. So,
wow.
But it was one of those moments when my mom, I started to tell you about how my mother and my father presented all these opportunities for us. And one of those opportunities was theater. My mom would take us to kids shows, the theater for young audience style stuff at the Fulton Opera House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And the first adult play for adults, that I saw was The Glass Menagerie. Mm. And the intermission came along and I could see in the blue glow in the dark on stage, you know, whatever that intermission preset was, people in dark clothing moving around stealthily, resetting and setting the scenery for the next act. And I didn't really know what they were doing. I was 11 at the time. But I looked at my mother and I said, that's what I want to do. And she said, you want to act? You want to be on stage? No, Mom, I want to do what those people are doing right now in the dark.
Wow.
You know, and she didn't have a name for it at the time. So, okay, great. That's whatever you want to do, honey.
Wow.
But had I known that 11-year-old me had discovered my career path that quickly and that early on, I don't know. It's cool. That was my aha
That's
moment.
That's so neat.
I want to do that.
That's really cool.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
We are headed into a year that is all about celebrating the amazing things that stage managers do. So 2020 is the year of the stage manager.
It is. 2020 is the year of the stage manager. And among the reasons for that are that 1920, 100 years ago, was the first year that Actors Equity Association started using stage manager as a separate term in the contracts. Mm. The stage manager role became recognized as a separate role that needed to be mentioned in the contracts that actors and stage managers were signing. And that's not to say that stage managers didn't have that role before, but that it was finally recognized as something individual that needed its own contract.
Yeah, and not to deviate too far from sure. what you're saying, mm-hmm. but for those of you that don't know, there is, within Actors Equity, which is the Actors Union, mm-hmm. Stage managers are also under the same AEA umbrella.
Yes. It's the same union for actors as for stage managers. That works and really should be in general because we work the same hours. We work at the same time together on the same part of the production, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you've got actors working, you need to have the person, you know, advocating for their safety and the room that they're in and their break times and all of that. And that would be the stage manager. So we signed the same kind of contract for every show, mm-hmm. for an equity production. So that is the main crux of it. That's where it comes from. We wanted to celebrate the year of the stage manager as 2020, because 100 years ago, when we became sort of recognized as individual entities who needed their own verbiage in the contracts and rule books. We're celebrating 2020 as the year of the stage manager because it's time. It's time to celebrate stage managers. It's going to be a year full of each month has its own theme. Right now we're in sort of the what is a stage manager month, January. And then we move on to a month of advocacy for stage managers, and there'll be education. There's a lot of webinars and seminars and Instagram takeovers that stage managers all over the country are planning, from a Broadway show to, you know, to our regional houses to small 99-seat theaters in California and other places. Different stage managers are signing up for a daily Instagram takeover to show you parts of stage managers' lives. And not all of them will be from backstage. Mm-hmm. Some of them will be like, hey, it's the stage manager's day off. What do? Well, I live near the beach, so here I go.
And lots of coffee.
And lots of coffee. Yeah, because stage managers are really just mythical creatures that are powered by coffee.
Honestly, it's true. Yeah. It's very true.
I do have a love for coffee. And yeah, just looking for a little bit of recognition.
Yeah.
Making certain that, you know, in advocacy-wise, making certain that stage managers get credited in programs, in playbills, because we are a part of the creative team. We're part of the process, and we're an integral part.
Yeah.
And, you know, in general, stage managers aren't, I was going to say egotistical, but that would probably be stretching it a little bit. But we're not, we don't need the recognition for ourselves. We need it for our career. We need it for other people who don't yet know. Mm-hmm. You know, the little 11-year-old me, the 20-something-year-old me, who didn't know that stage management is a thing that you can make your living doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Stage management, I feel like, is very much so the unsung hero of the show, or the unsung character of the show, too, because really, like, you are an additional character in the way that we speak about, you know, the audience being an additional character that brings in a piece of the show. Like, there is a whole other artistry, even when a show is running, that a stage manager crafts and creates and adds to the show. And, you know, you're right that, like, when people are thinking about the show, they're seeing, like, the headshots and they're seeing the promo photos.
Right. And the costumes. And they know who the costume designer was and the set designer. But, yeah, a lot of times there's a person off stage left in the wings at a control station or up in a booth at the back of the house looking out a window and is on comms with three or four stagehands on stage. And calling light cues and sound cues and tab cues, projection cues to people who are pressing a button that makes those things go. But there's a human being with some creative juice behind that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw a stage manager friend of mine just recently posted a Facebook post about how she called a certain cue like a boss, you know, or you call a cue and you're like, yes, that was the perfect timing for that.
Yeah.
And then you discover those things as you go through the rehearsal process in the tech and want to recreate those every single night. Just like the actor finds the perfect inflection and amount of energy to push something through that they're saying or doing on stage, the stage manager is doing the same thing. When do I call that cue? Do I call it on this word or three words later?
Yeah.
Is my button pusher fast or are they slow? And if they're slow, how do I call this cue to get that to happen, the light to flash or to go or the sound to start in the place that the director intended, that the designer intended, that's useful to the actor, if I have a button pusher, as it were, who responds slower than I would want them to. I don't try to correct them. I course correct my own call.
Yeah.
You know?
There's such nuance, too, when I hear you talk about a show or within your book where you have the markings of when the next cue is called, like, there's such nuance to each of them. Like, I'm like, oh, it's right after this word. And you're like, well, usually she's adding this thing where she touches her cheek right before she says it, so you'll know it's coming up, but then she'll take a breath, and then you call the cue. And you're like, what?
What?
Okay. In the same way that an actor is paying that close attention
to
and
how they
listening.
Breathe. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. You were also with them and breathing with them too.
Yeah. I'm not just reading the script and calling, like you say, you know, she walks over there is the sentence that's being said, or she'll walk over there and I call the cue at the end of the word there. That might be originally where the lighting designer said, call this cue. But as we went through tech and through rehearsals, the actor adds something to that, flavor, their own take, their own flavor on what they're saying and what they're doing at the time that they're saying it, that calling the light cue as he finishes the word there isn't the best place for it. It might be the beat before. It might be wait two beats. And I'll do that. I'll make a little sound. Right? Those are my beats to keep me honest. And I'll have that scribbled in my book, too.
Yeah.
I'll say, you know, it'll say take the cue here and there'll be an X after the end of the word, but I will also leave myself a note, wait two beats.
Yeah.
And then I will.
So if someone wants to celebrate the year of the stage manager and learn more of the things that you are talking about, the different months of advocacy and what is a stage manager, where would they go? Or is there like a hashtag they can follow or?
Yeah, your best bet would be hashtag YSM, year of the stage manager. So hashtag YSM2020. Mm-hmm. That one will generally pull up everything that stage managers and their advocates and their friends are saying. There is also hashtag year of the stage manager. All one word, obviously, you know, year of the stage manager.
Very cool. We will definitely have to check that out. And then you also just moved into a new role.
So I have been a member of the Stage Managers Association, which I have heard described as a union agnostic association. There are stage managers across the country and across the world who are union members, members of Actors Equity, AGMA, and the like. And but this is an association for stage managers in all walks of life, in all phases of life, if you will, you know, pre-career students, associates who may stage manage for a community theater as a fun thing in the summer or once a year, and then also professionals who make their living as production stage managers, assistant stage managers. And I have been a member of the association for a few years and recently was appointed a vice regional representative my specific area is Florida. So the job, the goal that I have right now is identifying and unifying all the stage managers who live and work and play in Florida. Mm-hmm. And those who come to visit us frequently, you know, stage managers who come from other places to work in our theaters here, finding them and then getting them together and putting together social times together, but also putting together workshops and seminars and behind the scenes tours for each other and sharing our worlds with one another from Tallahassee and Gainesville down to here in Tampa Bay and over to Orlando and the theme park stage managers and then on down to Miami and Naples and West Palm and all the places in Florida.
And why is that particularly exciting to be able to connect people from all over, stage managers from all over?
Because it's an art. What we do is art. The world that we work in is artful, which means that there is no truly pre-prescribed way to do what we do. And so why not find all the other people who are doing it and have conversations about that? Share with each other how we call a show, how we mark our books, our scripts up so that it's best for the kind of brain that each of us has. Sharing ideas about software and applications and the ever-changing world of our digital devices. And how to use those to our best ability. Connecting stage managers who might be in their early careers, who need a mentor, someone coming out of a BFA program, somewhere needing a mid-career stage manager who can show them the ropes, take them on a tour, mentor them through finding their first professional job, and how to navigate, especially when you're a young stage manager or a new stage manager, figuring out how people work, right? And navigating the difficulties of human beings in a room together making art.
For a long period of time.
Yeah, trapped in a room with people. Not really trapped, but... so the SMA has some very specific... basically has a very specific mission and vision for itself and for its members. And one of them is to unify its membership and then to support all stage managers, whether they are a student who may or may not stick with it as a career, or a midlife stage manager making their living, or a retired stage manager who has, you know, I was going to say 100 years of experience in their pocket, but you know, who was on Broadway for 25 years, you know, and giving the young people the opportunity to mentor the us elders, as well as the elders mentoring the new young folk, or the new folk to this thing we call stage managing.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the main goal. And then the social gatherings and the like are just a little extra thing. So
this is me projecting, so correct me if it's not true. Mm-hmm. Is it also neat because there's only one of you in each theater, and there are lots of other artists that we get to converse as actors, or directors get to converse sometimes together, or designers are all talking together, but there's only one of you.
Yeah.
So is there that also that piece too, that you're kind of isolated in your job specifically? Obviously you connect with everybody. Does that fit in with it too?
It's funny that you say that, actually, because I was thinking before you just asked that question, is one of the things I want to say about having an association that is all people of a certain profession, if you will, is that you know that when you talk about something, they're going to understand. And you don't have to start back at square minus one, where you're educating somebody on what it is you're even talking about when you say my book, right? Or blocking, or, you know, when you talk in the codes of upstage, downstage, stage left, stage right, you can jump right in and have conversations because you're already speaking a common language. As a human being, stage management can be a little isolating. It can be a little lonely. A lot of times we're the first one in and we're the last ones out of the space, whether it's rehearsal or tech or the run of the show. You know, once in a while you'll have a board operator who sticks around or has to do a little maintenance, or, you know, so a technician who has to do some maintenance. But you know, the ghost light's on stage and you're filling out paperwork and the cast left 40 minutes ago, to celebrate opening or closing, or just, you know, it's Sunday and we did our 6 shows for the week. And you still have 25, 30, 40 minutes of paperwork to fill out and get sent and filed and, you know, lists to check. And by the time you walk in the door at the bar or the restaurant, the kitchen's closed and, you know, last call's been called and half the actors have already gone home and you miss out on the socialization.
Because you're taking care of everyone else. Your job is making sure everyone else is okay. So
yeah, yeah.
Must be neat to connect in that way with other...
Yeah, because we're on the same time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, now my paperwork's done, let's go to the bar.
Yeah.
Whereas now my paperwork's done and nobody's at the bar anymore.
Right. I
keep using the bar, but not all. This isn't where we all have to go. But we do have to eat and drink occasionally. So yeah, I'm really excited. I'm excited by having this association, having this huge group of people. I mean, the membership has doubled in the last 10 years from 400 and something to over 1,000. And now we're talking about this year's goal being, you know, trying to hit 1,400 people.
Yeah.
I kind of made that number up. So anybody listening from the SMA, just know I'm challenging us to 1,500 people.
So. Signed and dated.
That's right.
I want to thank you so much for taking time today to show us a bit of your world and the many things that you do for this theater and this community. And now for the whole region. I'm really excited about this new position that you have and eager to hear the many different ways that the SMA Association continues to impact our community in theater.
Yeah. Well, look out. We'll be around. All right. We're going to go ahead and get this show started.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. To learn more about 2020, the year of the stage manager, you can follow #YSM2020 to stay up to date on how they are continually celebrating throughout this year. And as always, we want to hear from you. Rachel shared with us what spark she found to inspire her career path. What was the spark that allowed you to discover your career? You can email us at podcast@americanstage.org or like our Facebook page to join in on the conversation.
Thank you for joining Spotlight, the American Stage podcast. For more American Stage programs and news, visit americanstage.org.